Times and Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Dr. Tony Barresi, Vice President of Exploration for Triumph Gold. It's really a story that I've been focusing on in my newsletter quite a lot this year, and it's one of my favorite stocks as well. Dr. Barresi has been with us before. He's had a very impressive record in the exploration field and a very impressive academic background as well. But, of course, academia is one thing. What we're interested in is making money. And I think a lot of the progress that's been made by this company this year, 2018, may be putting us on the track for some success in that regard. I should mention before we say hello to Dr. Barresi that Triumph Gold trades in Canada under the symbol TIG. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol TIGCF. 81 million shares outstanding, and I saw a little earlier today, anyway, it was trading at 31 cents in U.S. money, giving a market cap of only around $25 million, which I think is really remarkable, considering the promise this company seems to have on its exploration front in the Yukon. Interesting also to note that Goldcorp owns about 18% of the stock. Institutions hold another 46.5%. Directors and officers own over 5%, leaving a float of only about 30%. So I think this is really important also to note the kind of shareholders that are in this company present a stability to the stock, which is very, very important as well in this industry. So I think that's another big plus. Tony, thank you for joining me again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show again.
It's really good. When we can get you away from looking at rocks and talking to people, it's quite an accomplishment, I think, because your love is obviously looking at rocks and understanding the geology and how Mother Nature put things there. But your Free Gold Mountain project in the Yukon is really a huge project. Obviously your drill program 2018 is completed. Have you all the results back, all the assays back? Have you been able to pull that all together and start thinking about a 2019 program, or is that still in the works?
So we in 2018 we conducted one of the most aggressive drill programs that was conducted in the Yukon Territory this summer. We drilled about 18,000 meters. And we have received all of those assays, and we've released all of those results. Just because we've released the results doesn't mean we fully understand exactly what they all mean. But we had some really keen geologists on site all summer that were incorporating everything that we were seeing coming out of the drill holes as it was coming out. So we have developed a pretty robust geological model. So we've put out a number of different results from a number of different areas that we've drilled. The real highlight of what we discovered this summer is something that we're calling the Blue Sky Zone Porphyry. It has that name because the year before we identified an area that had never been drilled that had lots of prospective rocks in it, and we called it the Blue Sky Zone. And then this year we drilled it and we hit a porphyry system. And the great thing about this porphyry system is that it's the highest grade porphyry system that's ever been hit in the Yukon Territory. And I was just at a conference in Vancouver, AME's Roundup, where it was acknowledged by the Yukon government that this is actually the intersections that we've made of this porphyry system are the highest grade porphyry related rocks that have ever been encountered in the Yukon. An example would be we had one hole that had 316 meters of 1.1 gram per ton gold, 5 gram silver, and 0.27% copper. That's the kind of grade and the kind of drill hole length that represents a volume of rock that could potentially economically be mined in the Yukon. So we're really making big strides in our Blue Sky Zone.
Yeah, that is a very exciting, phenomenal intersection. I guess you put a couple of other holes down into the porphyry as well from another angle, I believe. Is that right? And how many have you put down into this system so far?
We've hit the high-grade material with 8 holes. So that's the longest intersection that I just read to you, but there's a whole bunch of other really impressive intersections through this body. If you look at a cross-section or a 3D model of the thing, it's basically continuously mineralized through the zone of mineralization. So, you know, if you were to mine this thing, the whole thing would be pay dirt. It's not like some types of deposits where, you know, there's some stuff that's higher grade and some that's lower, and you sort of have to separate the good from the bad.
It should be pretty easy then, with that kind of continuity, to statistically to come up with a resource, I suppose, after you have sufficient number of drill holes put down.
That's right. Well, so, you know, with any of these sorts of things, there's a bunch of boxes that need to be ticked off. And on our property, there's some boxes that were sort of ticked off before we even really started the exploration. Mm-hmm. For instance, we have great infrastructure. You know, everybody knows there's lots of gold in the Yukon, but one of the things that makes it difficult to do exploration in the Yukon is that there's not a lot of infrastructure. But mm-hmm. our property has a road that runs right off of the Klondike Highway, right onto our property and through our property. We drag drills in, move them around on the property, along roads, and so there's no need for helicopter, and those same infrastructure benefits will make it that much easier to one day become a mine. But now, the other thing that we're checking off on the property is that we've got high-grade mineralization. And, you know, to have a porphyry style deposit, you need to have a certain grade of mineralization. And we're looking at, if you combine the gold and the silver and the copper, greater than 1% copper equivalent mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. most of these holes. So that's another box that we're checking off. The next box that we need to check off is volume. We really need to have a lot of this rock. And that's the kind of thing that you can't just check off in a year. It's the kind of thing that you need to do a lot of drilling to define a large volume of rock.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any metallurgical studies yet at all?
So over the Blue Sky Zone, we haven't done any metallurgical work yet, but there are similar styles of mineralization nearby where we actually have current 43-101 resources. So there's an area adjacent to the Blue Sky Zone that we call Revenue, and that has a significant amount of metallurgical work that's been done, and it's very positive. There's over 90% recovery of gold in unoptimized metallurgical tests.
Tony, I imagine that you have not yet pulled together your plans, your drill plans for 2019, but do you see the Blue Sky as being a major focus for 2019? I would guess it has to be, given these exciting intercepts.
Absolutely, yeah. So you can't sort of drill something like this and not follow up on it. And there are a number of opportunities to explore for extensions of the Blue Sky Zone near surface. But what we're really excited about for 2019 is a concept, an idea that's come out of our drilling of the Blue Sky. And I guess I'll just step back for a minute and sort of tell you what brought us into the Blue Sky in the first place. Mm-hmm. In 2016, we did a desktop study, and we were looking purely at exploration potential for the property. So we were stepping away from the pre-existing resources, and we identified that the pre-existing resources were contained within a very large, very intense multi-element soil anomaly. And we came up with a number of reasons to believe that that soil anomaly was related to a very large hydrothermal system, of which the two resource areas were just little postage stamps within. So whereas previously there was always the thought that it could possibly be just dispersion of these elements near surface in the soils or leakage from the deposit areas, we propose that the whole thing is one very large hydrothermal system. We've stepped out now over the last 2 years into all kinds of areas within the soil anomaly, and everywhere we've hit mineralization that's porphyry related. But the highest grade mineralization is where there's ground preparation, so where there's faulting that's allowed fluids to come up to high crustal levels. Well, now what we think is that this entire 6 kilometer area is underlain by something that's much larger and much better mineralized than anything that's near the surface. So wow. We're just looking at little sniffs of what all of this is coming up from. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that promotional guys will say all the time whenever you go to a mining conference
right.
or something.
Well, but we've hear got it all a the
bunch
time.
Of, exactly. But we've got a bunch of scientific data that shows that this almost has to be the case. We have a whole bunch of geochronology, and that's where you know the age of the rocks. And all of the rocks that are at surface in this 6 kilometer area are about 30 million years older than the mineralization itself. And that means that there has to be an intrusion at depth underneath this that is the source of the metals and fluids that has caused the mineralization. And just wherever there were leaks up to the near surface is where there's the high-grade mineralization. So because on the quality of that evidence, we've decided that next year we're going to drill the Yukon's deepest hole under the Yukon's richest porphyry. So we're gonna call her a hole right behind the Blue Sky porphyry, and we're gonna drill right down that sucker until we get into this causative intrusion that we propose is there. And this is exactly the same kind of story that Solgold had for Cascabel. You know, they had a big hydrothermal footprint, and they drilled down a high-grade zone knowing that there had to be a blind intrusion under there, and they hit it, and a few years later, they had a 12-million-ounce gold resource.
Mm. Well, it's going to be fun to watch, for sure. One of the drivers we'll be keeping our eyes on this year. What might the depth of that hole be? Tony, do you have a sense of how deep you'll go?
So we're not sure exactly how deep the causative intrusion is. It can't be super deep, like 2 kilometers or 2,000 meters or anything like that, or it wouldn't have this vast hydrothermal footprint near surface. It could be as shallow as sort of the extent of our current drilling, which is about 450 meters vertical extent, or it could be as deep as 1.5 kilometers. We just don't know. We conducted some deep penetrating geophysics at the very end of the season, and that's some data that we're still we've really just received, and we're beginning to incorporate it into our ideas, and we'll be releasing that data in a press release at some point over the next month or two as well.
Okay, with just a couple of minutes left yet, you know, your project, when you picked it up from the prior operators, already had, I think, collectively over 3 deposits. You had over 4 million gold equivalent ounces. I think maybe the nucleus and the revenue deposits up close to the Blue Sky there had 3 million ounces between them. But I believe you believe there's a lot more potential in that area between those deposits, in and around those deposits, right?
Yeah, so that's really what we've been working hard on over the last couple of years, is to show that those two deposits came out, or when the resources for those deposits came out, they're great resources. There's, you know, millions of ounces of gold, but they didn't demand a capital investment. And what we really needed was a resource that was going to be economic today, at today's metal prices. And so that's why we shifted our focus from those resources to exploration potential. And we identified exploration potential in this sort of world-class soil anomaly that surrounds the revenue nucleus resource areas. And we tested about 5 different areas between and adjacent to revenue and nucleus. And in every single one of those places that we tested, we found porphyry or epithermal style mineralization. And in most of the places, we found mineralization that's higher grade than what's contained within the resource itself. So that was proof of concept that this whole area is part of a very large hydrothermal system. The work that we've done in Blue Sky, which is one of the areas that's adjacent to the resource areas, is what's really given us the confidence to say that the mineralization is related to something that's very large and buried beneath all of this.
Well, it's extremely exciting, Tony. How's your treasury right now? Are you going to have to raise the money to do what I imagine will be a fairly expensive program next year?
That's right. We're looking at drilling. Our plan for this year is to do another very aggressive program, probably drilling about 15,000 meters. And some of those meters will be more expensive than what we've done before, because we'll be drilling these very deep holes. So we're looking at probably something close to about a $5 million program. And that's not dissimilar from what we've done the last 2 years with financings related to Goldcorp buying into our company and a number of other investments that have been made over the last few years. And yes, we will be looking to raise some money for the upcoming program.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave a go at that. Tony, thank you so much for being with us today. Very exciting story, and I hope we can keep up with you or your colleagues in the future as you begin your work in 2019. Thank you so much.
Oh, all right. My pleasure. Thank you for your interest, Jay.